Spock, and was working for my grandfather. So my granddad had he ran this small business in small town Oklahoma, and he had this business running these things called grain elevators. Does anybody know what a grain elevator is? Right. Hint a few of you. This is good. We should have a picture of the grain elevators up there. Sometimes they're called silos. And what he would do is his business would buy grain, like corn or wheat, from farmers and store it in these grain elevators or silos. And then they would sell it on to companies that would make food out of it. They make food for animals and for people out of it. So his business, because it was based on farming, was really busy. It was extra busy around harvest time. So during that busy time, I got to help him. And I was excited about this job for two reasons. The first reason is that I got to spend extra time with my grandparents. And the second reason is very important. And I was excited because I could earn money to buy more Legos. When I was a 10-year-old boy, I loved Legos. I loved playing with them. I loved collecting them. The Lego company even sent monthly catalogs to my house. And I didn't just love collecting Legos and playing with them. I loved looking at the catalog and dreaming about the Legos that I will one day hopefully have. And there was this particular pirate ship that I really wanted. It was a Lego pirate ship. And I thought that if I could just buy this pirate ship, then I would be happy. Then my Lego collection would feel complete. So when I got my paycheck from my first summer job, I went to the store and I proudly brought home my Lego pirate ship. And that pirate ship was actually, it was a lot of fun at first. But within a couple weeks, Lego sent me another catalog, and I had found new things that I wanted to add to my Lego collection. And my Lego collection didn't seem so great after looking at that catalog again. And within a couple of years, I had outgrown Legos altogether, and I stopped playing with them. The thing that I thought would make me happy didn't actually last very long. And for those of us who are adults here, we aren't actually so different. Many of us think that if we can just get the right toy, or get to the right stage in life, then we'll be happy. Then we'll feel fulfilled. There are many of us who live our whole lives kind of driven by these if-only thoughts. We think, if I could just buy that house, or that car, or that toy, then I'll be happy. Or we think, if I could just take that dream vacation, then I'll be happy. Or if I could just get that dream job or that promotion, then I'll be happy. If I could just retire with lots of money, or if I could just make more money, then I'll be happy. And in a real way, some of those things actually do improve our lives, right? So if you need a job and you find a job, it's probably going to improve your happiness. If you don't have enough income to make it by, getting more income probably will improve your happiness. If you're burned out and need to reconnect with your family or rest, then a vacation is probably going to be really helpful. But we often discover that the happiness and fulfillment that comes from a promotion or a new possession or getting to a new stage in life is fleeting. And we discover that the happiness that comes from those things doesn't last. We're in a sermon series in the book of Ecclesiastes right now. And the book of Ecclesiastes has this particular word for this kind of fleeting happiness. It uses this particular word for it. And it's this word, hebel. Normally, I don't like using Greek or Hebrew words in a sermon because it's a little bit nerdy. But this particular Hebrew word is actually so important for the whole book of Ecclesiastes that I thought it was worth mentioning. Most of our Bibles translate this word hebel as meaningless or vanity, or there's a couple versions out there that translate it as futility. And those are all great translations of that word. But literally, the word hebel means vapor or puff of breath. So Havel is, it's like a vapor, a puff of breath. It's something you can't quite hold on to. You can't hold on to a puff of breath. You can't hold on to a vapor. It's something impermanent that doesn't last. So the Message version of the Bible translates this word as smoke, actually. If you ever read the Message version, which I like a lot, it translates the word as smoke. So, and I like that translation because it kind of communicates that idea of something you can't quite hold on to. So when our Bibles translate this word as meaningless, it kind of carries that sense of impermanence. It's something you can't hold on to. So Ecclesiastes tells us that there are lots of the things that we pursue in life that we think will bring us happiness are actually just a puff of breath. They're actually just smoke. We can't hold on to it. They're permanent. They don't last. As I've been studying Ecclesiastes for myself, it has been challenging me personally. And I want to tell you about one of the ways that the book of Ecclesiastes has kind of been challenging me, because I think it'll sort of help illustrate the meaning of this concept. So here's how it's been challenging me. My daughter is 1 year old. So she's still kind of a baby. And over the past year, there have been many, many times, more times than I I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but there's been many times when I've missed out on really taking joy in spending time with her. And the reason that I've missed out on that is because I've been focused on the future. So, and I'm often focused on the future because taking care of a baby is really time consuming. And I don't have a lot of time for myself right now. I don't have as much time as I used to spend with friends. I don't have, my wife and I actually get less time together, less quality time together anyway. It's harder for us to travel right now. I don't get as much sleep, and sleep is really important to me. So the temptation for me is to think that once my daughter gets older, then I'll be happy. If she would just get older, then I'll be happy. Or once she sleeps through the night, then I'll be happy. Or once she's more independent, then I'll be happy. Or once we're not paying daycare bills, then I'll be happy. But if I focus on just making it to the next stage, it's going to make me miss out on some things. It's going to cause two negative things to happen. So the first thing that will make happen, if I just focus on getting to that next stage, is that it'll make me miss out on the presence. My daughter won't be a baby for very long. That time in her life is short. Like Ecclesiastes says, it uses that word, havel, right? It's impermanent. That time is short. You can't hold on to it. It's just a puff of breath or smoke in the grand scheme of things. It passes away quickly. So if I focus too much on the future, the first negative thing that's going to happen is that I'll miss out on the presence. I'll miss out on taking joy in the presence. The second negative thing that will happen if I focus too much on the future, and some of you are laughing at this because you already know this, but I'm just going to end up being disappointed if I think just getting to the future will make me happy. Because it's just not true that I'll automatically be happy whenever my baby's older. Yes, it may be true that I'll get more sleep. Yes, it may be true that travel will be easier. I don't know. Some of you will know that better than I would. But it's just not true that I'll suddenly be happy. Because whenever she's older, there's going to be new challenges. I don't know what those challenges are yet, but I know that they're going to be there. So the message of Ecclesiastes for me is, in this situation, is not to focus too much on the future, but to try to take joy in the present. The challenge of Ecclesiastes for me is to take joy in spending time with my daughter while she's a baby in her current stage of life, because that time won't last all that long. It's impermanent. It's just a puff of breath in smoke. Life is impermanent, so take joy in the presence. That is a big, big theme, a major theme in the book of Ecclesiastes. Life is impermanent, so take joy in the presence. And this message applies to lots of our lives. If we're in school, we might be looking forward to graduating. And that's a good thing. But if we're focused too much on what's next, miss out on taking joy in the present. And we can miss out on things we can learn in the presence. We can miss out on relationships with friends in the presence. Many of us have jobs where we don't want to stay forever. Some of us may have jobs that we don't like. We might be looking forward to a new job or a promotion. But if we focus too much on what's next, we can miss out on finding joy in the present. We can miss out on friendships with coworkers in the present. We can miss out on learning and growing in the present in our current situation, even in the middle of challenges. Life is impermanent, so take joy in the present. This is a challenge from Ecclesiastes. And the first part of our passage today is actually a nice kind of summary of that idea. So this is what it says. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is smoke, or meaningless. I use that word smoke here to kind of remind us that this word has this sense of impermanence. So that's the way the Message version of the Bible translates the word. So you can fill in, it actually says meaningless there in most of our Bibles. So this passage is telling us that there are good, joyful parts of life. And it talks about light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. So it's saying there is joy to be found in the simple things in life. And these verses encourage us to take joy in the simple things in life. Regardless of however long we may live, we should take joy in the simple things. But these verses also acknowledge the truth that there are many days of darkness. That's just a poetic way of saying that life is hard sometimes. There are a lot of Bible commentators who think that this kind of part of the passage is sort of directed at older people. And they think that because of the line about however many years anyone may live. Some of us have been forced to learn the lesson that life is hard early in life. Some of us didn't have easy childhoods. Some of us didn't have an easy time as young adults. Others of us were fortunate, and we didn't learn the lesson that life is hard until later in life. But by the time we're older, most of us have learned the truth that life can be hard sometimes. Life can be difficult. After we live for a few years, we know from experience that there are days of darkness. So this passage tells us the truth that there are days, and there are weeks, and there are years when life is hard. But it also tells us the truth that there are good things in life. And it encourages us to take joy in the good things. And that might be kind of a difficult thing for some of us to hear, but I actually think it can be really freeing for us, because most of us know from experience that life can be hard sometimes. Some of you might be experiencing hard things in life right now. And the Bible acknowledges that. It is a biblical truth that life is hard sometimes, and we'll experience suffering. But it's also true that God is good, and there are good things in life. So this encourages us to try and take in that joy, to try and take in the joy to be found in life. There's a couple who I know who went through a really difficult period a few years ago. And one of them, named Samantha, she had growth in her brain. And the couple were in their late 20s. They had two young kids at the time. The growth was successfully removed, but there were years afterward when she had multiple seizures every week. Stories like that don't always have a happy ending, and I'm really aware that some of us may have stories like that, or we can relate to that, and they don't have a happy ending. Their story happens to have a happy ending, and she's pretty healthy now. But the other day, my friend posted a picture of them celebrating Samantha's birthday on Instagram. And then this is what I want to show you, the thing that he wrote next to the picture of them celebrating her birthday. This is what he wrote. At one stage, we wondered if Samantha would have many/any more birthdays. Since then, we've celebrated each new candle on the cake with a kind of furious, frivolous joy. This is what this part of Ecclesiastes is trying to tell us. Life is impermanent, and there are hard parts of life. Suffering is a real thing. So, take joy in the good parts of life. Celebrate the good parts of life, because the good things in life are also real. God's goodness is also real. So, it is a biblical encouragement to throw lots of parties, to celebrate the good things in life, because those are real. Let's celebrate the goodness of God with a kind of furious, frivolous joy. Let's look at the second half of the passage. This is what it says. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. So the first part of the passage seems to have maybe had older people in mind, and these verses are directed at younger people. But the advice that they give to younger people is actually really similar to the advice they gave older people. Life is impermanent, so take joy in the present. It's saying you aren't young for very long, so fully take in the joy of being young. It does warn those of us who are young to not do something that we'll regret later in life. But it does say, enjoy life while you're young. And then it says this. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless, or smoke. Again, I use that word smoke here in place of meaningless. One of the biggest things for me So I don't know if I'm a young person or not anymore. I might be on the border. It's unclear. But
you're young.
Thank you. Amen. I'll just talk about this as if I'm a young person. One of the biggest things that takes away my joy as a young person is my anxiety over figuring out the future. And I think that was actually especially true when I was a little bit younger. There have been many, many times that I have thought, if I could only figure out my career, then I'll be happy. Or if I could only figure out my calling, what God has called me to, then I'll be happy. Or if I could only figure out who I'm going to marry, then I'll be happy. Luckily, I figured that one out. But there are some of us who are so fixated on figuring out the future that it takes away the joy of living in the present. So our thing that we think if we could just get it and it would make us happy is our calling or future or career, maybe for some of us, at least for me, rather than a possession. And that fixating on the future can actually take away the joy of living in the present, and it can cause us to miss out on what God is doing in the present. The truth is that most of us will be figuring things out for our whole life. Most of us will be figuring out what God is calling us to for our whole lives, and that's normal. Our calling is something that unfolds throughout our life. So here's an example from the Apostle Paul. This is a passage in Acts, and this is Paul speaking here. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. In this story, what's happening is Paul kind of gets together these leaders of a church in a city called Ephesus, and then he gives them this speech. And he says, God is compelling him to go to Jerusalem. But he doesn't know what's going to happen once he gets there. So God is calling him, but there's a lot he doesn't know. And if you know Paul's story, his life took lots of unexpected twists and turns after this. This is how God's calling often works. We might have some sense of a direction where God is leading us or calling us, but most of the time, there's also a whole lot we don't know. And so it's a really good thing to think and plan for the future. You should think about your career, especially if you're younger. You should pray and reflect on what you're called to do. And I really do believe that God has a purpose for all of us. But some of us might be so anxious over figuring out our entire future or figuring out exactly what God has called us to do that it's taking away the joy of living in the present. And it might be making you miss what God is doing in the present. Figuring out our calling is a lifelong process that we do together with God and with other people that we trust. So take joy in the present and in what God is doing in the present. So major theme of Ecclesiastes is that life is impermanent and it encourages us to take joy in the present. And we can sort of leave the sermon there. That truth is actually kind of in paradox with some other truths in Scripture. And so I want to actually point out another truth in Scripture, just to kind of, I think it's important to point this truth out. So this is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Therefore, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There are things in life that are not in vain, that are not vanity. There are things in life that are not meaningless. There are things in life that actually are permanent. So there's this paradox, right? On the one hand, life is impermanent, like Ecclesiastes says, and so we should take joy in the present, and that's true. But on the other hand, what we do in the Lord is not in vain. What we do out of love for God and love for others and out of care for God's creation, in some mysterious way, is actually permanent. It's not in vain. Because, like 1 Corinthians 15 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Through the power of Jesus' resurrection, every act of love, every act of gratitude and kindness and care and support and generosity is not in vain. Through the power of Jesus' resurrection, every act that embodies holiness rather than corruption, truthfulness rather than dishonesty, forgiveness rather than bitterness, and love rather than hate, is not in vain. And the funny thing is that it might look like some of those things are in vain, but the truth is, because of Jesus, those things are not in vain. What we do in Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit will not be wasted. So it's true that we should take joy in life because it's impermanent. So let's be people who celebrate the good things in life. Let's be people who celebrate even the simple good things in life and who celebrate God's goodness. But it's also true that death has been swallowed up in victory. So your love for God, your love for others, your care for God's creation is not in vain. Our labor in the Lord isn't in vain. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you that you do encourage us to have joy. Lord, thank you that joy is actually a fruit of the Spirit, a thing that we're called to grow in. And so, Lord, I pray that we learn how to experience and celebrate joy in the good things that you have put in life. And Lord, I also pray that you would have a sense of those things that you called us to, that kind of labor and good work that you called us to that isn't in vain, and that's for you, Lord. Whether that's our work, Lord, whether that's loving the people in our families or neighbors around us or serving in some way. The people around us, or loving people in some way.
God, I pray that that kind of labor that you called us to would be made clear to us.
Thank you.